to put in all the work, everybody for each other on the field, and then we stay there as a unit and we go towards our goals together as one.
For Martins, it's Sven Angulo to cross into the box. That's one missed it.
What's going on, guys? Gavin here. So I'm gonna try this for this season actually and see how it goes, but the current plan with the guys is to record on Thursdays, and so since that's the case, I'm gonna try and record my initial thoughts for the games pre and post game on Saturdays, right? Just to give you guys some initial content, and maybe we can break it down further. But the current plan is Thursdays to really break down the previous game and then preview the upcoming game and obviously answer questions and go from there. So right now I am driving to the Orlando City versus Montreal game and wanted to just give some quick thoughts on our side. The lineups have come out. And on the Montreal side, their lineup has come out as well. The big news of the night for Orlando City is Brocalo is eligible to play and gets the start. Daniel and I on Thursday's pod said that we felt Smith would start even if Brocalo was available. But instead, it is Brocalo who gets the nod straight in. I love to see it. Shows some confidence from the coach, the coaching staff, in Brocalo and his ability to play at this level. So good stuff there. Happy to see that straight in. And then Ojeda is on the bench. There was a lot of positivity and happiness around his performance on last Wednesday against Cavalry, getting the assist for the Maguire goal. And already we're starting the season and Ojeda is back on the bench. So that is the talking point here, is that Ladero gets the start. I had said I was worried that Ladero would be our starting attacking midfielder, but was excited that Ojeda seemed to potentially be the starter. And immediately, you know, there's some, maybe it's just rotation, but Ladero gets the nod. And we know how injury prone Ladero has been the last few seasons. And that's where I'm getting a little nervous there, because obviously he's going to need game time. But why couldn't we go with Ojeda again? We're up 3-0 against Cavalry. I don't know if we need Ojeda to be rested for that game. Maybe we could have rested somewhere else in the lineup. But it is what it is. Ladero gets the start. I'm excited to see him. I guess I'm just, you know, Ladero is an attacking midfielder. He is a regular player in terms of roster, I believe, unless he's TAM, but I believe he's regular, standard player. But then we have a DP again starting on the bench, and I don't know what Oscar's thing is with Ojeda. Ojeda works hard defensively. He is a goal contribution machine. And again, it seems like he's going to be starting the season from the bench. So that's my thoughts there, which is pretty disappointing. Either way, we have a strong enough team to win this game. I don't think Montreal are going to be a really good team this season, and we don't want to give them any free points to start the season. We should be going for all three here. I looked over at their lineup, a lot of new faces. They obviously have a new coach, so that's going to throw a wrinkle in our game plan. for them specifically, for sure, because we don't know how they're going to play, right? It's not like they're returning with Hernan Losada just because he was an awful coach. He's been an awful coach in the league. He had a terrible time with DC United. But anyways, so also a fresh, friendly face in Juan is coming up against us, so we'll need to incorporate his pace and ability to get in behind into our game plan for sure. I believe Santos is starting on the left side for us, so that's something we'll have to consider. Sorry, that's something Santos will have to consider, not us. He will have to consider that. But other than that, I mean, they've got some decent players. Schwanier, Lassiter in there. Samuel Piet is still in there. But we've got the better team. We have the more settled team, the more settled lineup. We should be winning this game. And that's going to be my prediction. I'll predict maybe like a 3-0 or 3-1. Because, you know, that odd random goal we concede is possible. But I'm really excited to see what we're going to look like, and I think we're going to start well this season. And we should. Montreal, in my opinion, not a good team. Let's go lay a marker down and get 3 points. I'm also interested to see how Montreal play. Are they going to sit deep? Are they going to press? What is their game model going to be under? What's their coach's name? I can't remember it. It's a French name. It'll come to me. It didn't come to me. I had to look it up. Laurent Courtois. That's the new Montreal coach. So I am interested to see exactly what he does and how he sets up Montreal. But as for this game, again, we need to be winning. So hopefully we get to see continued pressing from us, coordinated, well-coached pressing like we saw in the Cavalry match. And hopefully we continue to take our chances when we get them again like we did in the Cavalry match. So all things are looking good. All things are feeling positive. And let's just hope that it continues in that vein. And I will speak to you guys on my way home, hopefully after a nice Orlando City dub. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, back to the car now. It ended Montreal 0, Orlando 0. I said that backwards. Orlando City were the home team. Wow. Yeah, that was a game. I wouldn't say what a game, because it was more a that was a game type of game, if you know what I mean. 0-0. Montreal set up in a nasty 5-2-2-1 defensive shape. And I don't blame us for not being able to break it down. Two defensive midfielders in, I want to say it was Schwanier and Piet, who are very hard workers just as players and very close together. And they're going to mop up anything back there. They're their two attacking midfielders trying to combine and you know, get something going through the center of the pitch. And then the striker. And then, of course, they had the three defenders. So all of that right through the middle of the field. I don't blame us for struggling to get a goal there. Because every time we would break it down and get through, you know, the only way you're getting through that is down the edges, right? You're only getting down on the right or left side. And the only available route, based on our build-up play, was the left. Because that's where we had the extra man in Rafael Santos. Down the right, Dagerdan wasn't really getting up and down the touchline. That's not his role. And so we found a lot of joy in the left side of our field. Our left side, Montreal's right side. And, you know, if that's the only place where you can get in behind, which it really was all night for the most part, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities. And so we were putting a lot of crosses in. They were blocking a lot of crosses. And we just weren't able to do anything. We tried a cross. They blocked it. It was too big of a cross. You know, crossing's a very low creativity stat. Type of attack, crossing. And we had a million crosses tonight, and only one of them really ended up in a goal, ended up being offsides. Speaking of the offsides, I didn't really see either of them. So, I mean, I saw them in real time. Jack Lynn did look offside to me in the buildup from my point of view. That was down my side. But I would need to see a replay. I'll look at it later, of course. As for the goal, I mean, the VAR ruled it out, so I'm going to assume it was called correctly, but you never know these days, especially with the camera angles of MLS, VAR, and offsides. It a lot of the times, the camera angles don't help anything. So, yeah, it is what it is, 0-0. I'm not too upset about it, I wouldn't say. I know in the preview, you know, the last thing you probably heard me say was we should be winning this 3-0, 3-1. That was before I obviously knew what Montreal was going to do, and they came and really just focused on not conceding. That was the way they set up. Again, I went through it, 5-2-2-1. That is so, so hard to break down. You're not going to break it down through the middle, through intricate play. It's very unlikely because there's just so many professional soccer players right in and around the center of the box. It's really hard to score from the angles that we were getting. It is what it is. They almost snatched it at the death. That is exactly what they were going for, I think. Last 15 minutes, they probably targeted that for getting a late goal. They obviously targeted the start of the match as well, where they had the better of the play the first 10 minutes or so. I think they had a couple shots within like 3 minutes. And they almost got it. Galese came up big. I would say he won us a point tonight because at no point did we really look like really scoring. You know, we had one or two chances at the death. We got the penalty and we got the goal, both offside. So it is what it is. But that's my instant thoughts. Again, I'm not too upset. Again, Montreal didn't really push out of that shape. I thought they did a really good job. They were working really hard, and I'm going to break it down. I'm not going to fault us too hard for that. If I'm going player by player, maybe I'll do that. Galese, again, I think he's got a point for this season already for us. So thank you, Pedro. Dogger Don, he had pros and cons to his game. I thought he played well again. I think he played the full 90. I think he did that Wednesday as well. So shows where Pareja is at with Mikey Halliday. But I would have liked to see how this game would have turned out if we got to see 20 minutes of Halliday at the end. Just because Dogger Don was helping us facilitate and keep possession in the midfield and in our third of the pitch. But I really think having another overlapper on the right side, or having a overlapper on the right side, I should say, could have helped us be a little bit more effective in the attacking third. We saw us get in behind time and again on the left side. We didn't have that on the right because we didn't have those extra bodies on the right to overlap. So I thought Dogger Don played well, but I think I would have liked to see a different role for that right back and see what that would have looked like. But it is what it is. Bricallo, I was impressed defensively for sure. He looked like a rock. That was exciting to see. I'm not worried about him at all. He was stepping up a lot, especially in the early phases, and he was looking a little out of place. But then he kind of figured it out pretty quickly, and yeah, the rest of the game he was a rock. As for on the ball, he clearly is able to facilitate and create chances from deep as well, but he was trying risky passes into the middle, and you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. There was once or twice where it worked, there was once or twice where it didn't. Obviously didn't end up in a goal against or a goal for, but yeah, it was a good debut from Bricallo. He was taken off, and I saw him and Pareja and some of the coaching staff talking, and he was pointing to his leg. So I don't know if he felt something and he asked to come off, but that caused me a little bit of concern because, like Daniel and I talked about, we are a little bit light at the back. So hopefully he's okay. He doesn't need to play on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we play next, but I would hope to see him in the next game because he is clearly starting center back quality. So I'm excited to see more from him, especially on the ball, because I think he could create some goals for us this season. He looked good. Janssen was Janssen, same old, same old. Nothing much there. Left back Santos, same old, same old. Really good threat on the attack. He's cleaned up a lot of his defensive frailties, so one of the better left backs in MLS, in my opinion. Okay, midfield. Let's start with Cartagena. Definitely lost his head a bit. He did go in for a very, very heavy challenge that I saw some people saying it could have been a red card. And then he had another foul, a couple minutes later, I should say. And yeah, had to be taken off at halftime because he was one foul away from getting sent off, especially with the replacement refs. We don't even want to risk it. And props to Pareja for doing that. We're going to need Cartagena this next game. So it is what it is. But I wish we would have seen a little bit more of Cartagena than having to be pulled at halftime because of discipline. Araujo was a rock. Same old again, similar to Janssen. Working really hard. He was doing this interesting thing where usually last season he would drop into the defense to help facilitate possession through the center. But this game he was facilitating through the left. And I wonder if that was because we wanted to keep Janssen as the center back in that setup. So if you think about it, if Araujo was to drop back into the three in the middle, then he's the center back at that time. But it was something a little different. I don't think it changed much in how we built up or anything. It was just Caesar was on the left center back role in build up, and then Janssen was the center back still to facilitate build up there. But other than that, I mean, Caesar was fine. Facundo Torres, he was fine. He kind of was doing that stuff I was talking about on the pod where he just goes backwards a lot. If he's facing back, he wasn't going on the half turn. Can't fault him too much because of the way Montreal set up. He didn't have a ton of space to work with. But I still would like to see him, you know, receive on the half turn more and drive forward instead of instantly one touching it backwards. It helps us keep possession, doesn't help us generate dangerous attacks, unfortunately. So there's a balance there, of course, but I think he leans too heavily towards possession at times. Ladero, I thought he was okay. It was a very Maurizio Pereira game from Nico Ladero. So, you know, Pereira last season wasn't extremely effective for us. You know, again, very good at helping us keep possession, not very good at creating extremely dangerous opportunities for us. He had to drop deeper, and I thought he looked better in the deeper role because he had a little bit more space to keep the ball. But yeah, it was an okay game from Ladero. I wouldn't have started him based on what I know now. And as I said previously, I wouldn't have started him altogether. I would have started Ojeda. Angulo was Angulo, working hard. He tired out pretty quickly, as he did last season, early on in the season. I remember him getting tired quickly, which is understandable. Lengthy off season, you gotta build up your fitness. He's definitely not 90 minutes match fit yet. Totally fine. And then Duncan Maguire, you know, he was doing Duncan Maguire things, making runs, trying to hold up the ball. But I would have been interested to see how Muriel would have affected this game, just because I think he could have been a more threatening player against that back three, you know, in those tight spaces. I want someone who can receive the ball, maybe back to goal, turn, and then take a shot, take a flash shot. And Duncan Maguire is not someone who does that. He's someone who, again, is very good at receiving or scoring through service, getting on the end of crosses, getting on the end of through balls, and getting goals that way. So, unfortunate we weren't able to have Muriel when the other team just sat deep in their box and clogged it up, and it was really hard to get through. So, it is what it is. And then for the subs, I mean, Ojeda looked good. He looked working hard defensively, which checks Pareja's box. Dangerous in the attack, which should check Pareja's box. There's something there. That's why I put him under on the starts in the last podcast. So I don't know what it is about Ojeda with Oscar Pareja, but I think he needs to be starting more. He's had a good two first games of the season, in my opinion. Some of the other subs, Kyle Smith came on, was fine. I don't even remember. Jacqueline came on, was fine. Offside in the build-up, unfortunately, but he looked good, honestly. He looked like an competent MLS player, so that's good to see. I know he's been killing it in MLS Next Pro these last few seasons. Who else came on? I can't even think. Felipe came on, and he was fine. And I think that's it. I'm probably forgetting one, but that's okay. Not the end of the world. Clearly, they weren't very impactful. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on the Montreal versus Orlando. Oh my gosh, I said it wrong again. Orlando City versus Montreal game, 0-0, still undefeated in season openers. And it's not the end of the world. No reason to panic. We're fine. We looked good. First game of the season, and the other team didn't really come to play all that much. So, oh well. On to the next. We've got Cavalry in a couple days here. And then I want to say Daniel said the next game was away to Inter Miami. I didn't realize that, but if that is the case, that is a big game. And if we were to come out of that without a loss, that would be great to see, because they do have a lot of dangerous attackers, but they are vulnerable at the back. So, all right, I will talk to you guys with my crew on, you'll probably hear the podcast Friday morning. So thanks, guys. And as always, vamos Orlando.
To put in all the work, everybody for each other on the field, and then we stay there as a unit, and we work towards our goals together as one.
For Martins, it's Sven Angulo to cross into the box. That's one mistake.